What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're doing the listener spotlight. We got Keith Shireman coming all the way from Arkansas. He is an athletic trainer, and he's got quite an interesting story. We've talked to him in the past about some of his experience with motocross, and then he's going to be sharing some of his athletic training story here, some of his injuries, and how he's currently working on becoming an Ironman. So without much further ado, whoop, looks like we lost Keith.
All right. Well, until he comes back, what's some advice that you can give people?
Some advice. So you're interviewing me now?
Exactly.
I guess it needs to be situation specific, but in general, think about what you want your obituary to say. Do you want it to say a guy who worked really hard and didn't take time for his family, or you want to say, you know, for me, the reason I put my Twitter bio is as a follower of Christ, as a husband and as a father, and then as an athletic trainer, is because I want it to be in that order. I want it to, when people see me or hear from me, that they know that's who I am. Earlier, just a little while ago, I called my wife on this and talked to Sam because they're watching live, because, like I said, she's my number one fan. So mine would be just think about the end, what you want it to look like, and follow the path that it takes you to get there. So there we go. Keith is chiming back in here. We'll give him a second to get logged in. I think another thing is, Kathy just said it too, is listen more than you speak. And that's usually easy for me on the podcast because you all ask a question and then somebody else will just talk and talk and talk. So, but with the athletes or going home, I kind of have to do the same thing. So, all right, we'll continue my interview at some point later. All right, we're going to give this another shot. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're talking with Keith Shireman. He's out in Arkansas. He is an athletic trainer, also has some experience with motocross, being personally a motocross racer, and then also an athletic trainer as motocross. And we talked to him on a previous episode. I also got to meet up with him at SWATA, and we've talked about sharing stories about how he's teaching CPR and had to, you know, perform life-saving measures as well, using an AED and that kind of thing there. So without much further ado, Keith, how long you been in the profession?
This is my 18th year.
18th year. All right. Where did you learn about athletic training?
Wow. I guess I always knew about athletic training back in college. I had changed my major several times and was involved in motocross, of course. And then I thought, why not put athletic training with motocross? And at the time, it was way ahead of, you know, where athletic training could go. I mean, athletic training, you know, at the time was just, you know, your basic sports.
All right. I think we lost Keith again. All right, so we'll continue with Daniel's interrogation.
How did you get into athletic training?
You know, it was the weirdest thing. They made an announcement when I was in junior high, Beverly Hill Intermediate. They said, if you want to be an athletic trainer, come by the office and pick up an application. So I did. I went and picked up the application. I didn't know what that was. I don't know why. I really don't remember at all knowing anything about athletic trainers, but I went and picked up the application, filled it out, had my interview. I remember sitting up on the stage with the athletic trainer there, had my interview, and then, boom, I was in the program. So I'm an athletic trainer, and nobody that I would say was my friend was a student athletic trainer at the time or, you know, throughout the course, nobody that was previously my friend. So I heard about it in 8th grade, began doing it in 9th grade as a freshman, did it all 4 years in high school, 5 years in college, and then this is my 12th year as a professional. So, I don't know. It was my junior year where Chad Jones, he's now an assistant, or he's a principal somewhere, but he was the athletic trainer there at Dobie. He took me, you know, he was asking me what I want to do, and so then he ended up taking me to Lamar to interview with Chad Barrett at the time, and now he's since moved on. But I was planning on going to Lamar, but then the other athletic trainer, Joe Martinez, he lives in Galveston and does some contract work. He contacted me and said, hey, Houston Baptist University is looking for an athletic trainer and they have a full scholarship available. So, I mean, I worked hard and I earned the respect of my athletic trainers, but I didn't work hard enough to earn a full scholarship. So it was definitely God putting me in the right place at the right time, because finances in my house weren't that great. So allowing me to be able to go to school, live on campus, and then pay for almost all of it was something that was well beyond what I had worked hard enough to earn. So,
where did you meet your wife in all of this? You meet her at HBU or somewhere else?
Actually, there was just recently a tweet, the repost of the story of us. It was on Valentine's Day where we recorded an episode of kind of like the athletic trainer's wife. My fifth year in college, I'd seen Sarah at school. I remember the first time I saw her, I was going out the door to go to the gym, and I remember turning back to look at her. She was standing in the dorms waiting for her boyfriend there at the time. And so I remember seeing her, and then I remember saying hi a couple of times throughout the year, and then we were at a dance together, and she and I were like making eyes at each other, but I was being polite. I didn't go ask her for a number or to dance or anything because I was with somebody, she was with somebody. But the next day at lunch, I sat next to her at lunch and, you know, talked to her, got her phone number, and then we hung out and started dating after that. So, all right, so that's the story of me. Keith, you ready?
I think so. Is it? I don't know if it's on my end or your end. I don't know which one it is, but it keeps cutting out. So we'll try it again, I guess, or continue where we left off at.
All right, so we have been talking with Keith. He's been getting offended, so he's been hanging up on me. and we've been interspersing Daniel's interview of me. So, Keith, you were telling us your athletic trainer story. You learned about it because you were involved in motocross. So tell us about college. Tell us about some of your experiences there, and then we'll go on. So your athletic trainer story.
Well, a lot of, you know, when I was in college, I had decided, I thought, why not bring, you know, athletic training to motocross, because they're still athletes, and at the time, you know, most people wouldn't look at that as being an athlete, but they are athletes, and I had a pro license, and I thought, why not try to bring the best of both worlds together, you know, try to do that. So when I went back to college, try to finish up, I started on a circuit, I got my liability insurance, and just started following the tour around, and then finally, after I graduated, I tried to excel more into it, try to get more into the series with sponsors and things like that. You know, as an athletic trainer, try to bring a medical component to it, as opposed to just, you know, having, you know, the ambulance EMTs there, that type of thing. I thought it'd be cool to have athletic trainers there, so I started following this series, and I made some friends who I used to race with at the time, and was able to get in on one of the series. We started a few races here and there 1 year, and I think it was in 2001, because it was actually right after 9/11 had happened. I jumped on a plane and went to California and with some sponsors. They had invited us, I flew us out, and we talked about it, and I was basically by myself. I had another doctor from Florida who was in on this, but all things aside, it was an awesome experience. We were able to jump in on a series, indoor racing series, and we went 13 weekends in a row without a break. That was unbelievable for me to be going, you know, you're doing your athletic training job during the week, jumping on a plane on a Friday, having an event, you know, get there in time for practice on Saturday, Friday afternoon, you repeat the same process on Saturday, you get up Sunday morning, fly home, you know, maybe see your family for a few minutes, and then, you know, get up the next morning on Monday and then go right into, you know, back to your job during the week. So, there wasn't a lot of money involved in that at the time. Of course, it's something to get your foot in the door and try to do something. And I wanted to do something different as opposed to just staying the norm. I always like to do things differently, and I thought motocross would be a different, you know, avenue for athletic trainers to go involved in. And you see it more now with the bigger with the Monster Energy Supercross series. It usually goes through Houston as well. They have a big rig. They'll have a big semi that has athletic trainers, nurses, doctors there, you know, just everything fully staffed out of that semi. It has an X-ray, a portable X-ray machine right there for the riders to get taken care of right there on the spot. So, and that's been a pretty good deal for me. And as I've gotten older, I've kind of moved away from.
All right. We lost Keith again. We may have to run his without. I'm going to tell him next time, run it without video, and then he can just hopefully save the bandwidth. So, let me unmute Daniel and unmute Katmar. So, we were...
Oh,
sharing my story of how I met Sarah. Did I get all the way through it?
Yes and no. You described how you met her, but you didn't say where.
Oh, yeah. It was at HBU. It was a spring formal at HBU. So that's what I'm saying. It was right before the Christmas break. The next day, I sat down with her at lunch in the cafeteria. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just about to get her number, and then the girl that I went to the dance with on, like, Friday or Saturday comes and sits next to me, and I'm like, oh, goodness. So I think I ended up, or I'd just gotten Sarah's number or something. I don't remember exactly. Maybe I got it the next day. But I called her. We hung out over Christmas break, started dating. And a year later, asked her to marry me. Now we're going to be 11 years this summer. So,
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. You got to work on your hosting, Daniel. You got to keep the questions coming.
11 years. 11 years.
I keep laughing at Kat because she's not talking.
I wasn't talking. You're interviewing. I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. Sarah's listening live. Let me tell you what a goofball I was. And this is probably in the other call. So me and my friends go over to Sarah's house, and we hang out till probably like 1 in the morning or something. I don't know. So we leave there, and it was probably my idea because I am not the sharpest guy. And I said, hey, let's go get some toilet paper and wrap our house. What kind of, what, really? I mean, at this point, I'm 21 years old, something, 22 years old. This is my fifth year of college. And I'm thinking, hey, let's wrap this girl's house that I like, that I think I would like to date. And so we did. We went to the convenience store and bought some. And then we go out there and do that. And then we call her, hey, we broke down. Can you come outside? And so she walks outside and sees that. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
And then to make it worse, afterwards, I come over there, help her clean it up. I step in dog poop in her yard and get it in her carpet. So then now that her front room smells like dog poop because I stepped on it. Yeah, she's texting me right now telling me the details of the story. So
that's all right.
All right, hey, Keith.
You got me there?
Yeah, can you actually turn your camera off? I mean, I can mute your camera because it may save you some bandwidth, so...
Okay, I got it turned off there.
Yeah. Let me see. All right.
You just turned it back on. Was that better?
Yeah, I just turned it back on. You can... okay. Because I think if you turn it off, then it goes to that little motocross guy you have on yours. But... Mm-hmm. So go ahead and turn it off one more time.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, it's just going to be black, but that's all right. So... You ready, Keith?
Yeah, where we pick back up.
All right. So at least the third try, we're going to continue our interview with Keith Sharon, an active listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. He was telling us about how currently they have athletic trainers with their whole own semi-truck, but that was something that I don't know if he was the pioneer, but from what he was saying, it kind of sounds like he was a pioneer in getting sports medicine and motocross. Now they have a portable x-ray machine inside the truck so that they can just take care of it all at one time on those bigger shows. So, all right, Keith, tell us a little bit more about your athletic trainer story.
Athletic training for me is, you know, I'm at the high school level just like you are. I really enjoy working with the high school athletes. It's a challenge at times, you know, to try to develop a sports medicine program anywhere you go is a tough thing. The school is very receptive of me being here. This is my ninth year here where I'm at. I'm actually in Batesville, Arkansas. It's in northeast Arkansas. Have a lot of opportunities. Have had the opportunity to actually, I came here, you know, about 9 years ago. You know, there were injuries that I had seen, you know, on the motocross circuit, never have seen on at a high school level. You know, athletes nowadays in high school are getting bigger, faster, stronger. They'll have the opportunity to excel in their sport, and you know, we're having injuries are occurring more often. So it's a lot of challenges for the athletic trainer now. Even with in 2014, we had an athlete that had an irregular heart rhythm and went down during practice, and it wasn't a contact practice. It was primarily just they were what we call passing wave. They were throwing the football to the players, and he just collapsed right there on the field. He wasn't exerted or anything. He just collapsed on the field. And so things like that, you know, athletic trainers are facing a lot of different things nowadays that we've never had to deal with, never thought we might have to encounter. So athletic training itself is, to me, it's going places. We're there more for the athletes. We're there more for the community as a whole. We're more there for the parents, the faculty, you know, everyone, all involved, man. It's the athletic training model is really good at the high school level, and this is a real good time to be an athletic trainer at high school.
I agree. All right, so you told us you had to perform life-saving measures on a guy that collapsed. And yes. Last time we talked, you also mentioned where you got run over at a motocross event. So in your opinion, what is the worst injury that you've dealt with as an athletic trainer?
As an athletic trainer as a whole, injury per se, I guess would be a fractured femur, probably the worst. The first motocross event that I went to.
All right. Well, we got a little further on that one.
Again?
Yep. We may have to just start his all over another day. But we'll keep going with it. All right. So now we're interspersing my story with Keith because Daniel's interviewing me. Keith keeps dropping out. So we just finished talking about how my poor decisions somehow I still ended up with Sarah. Met at college, so.
We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect.
Right. He got lucky. She might have made the mistake.
Maybe she made mistakes that he doesn't know about.
Why is it always the girl?
I didn't say that.
Man.
I didn't say that.
I got her back.
I said we all make mistakes.
I'm sure she'll text me in a second here.
Well, I when I get Daniel's emails and texts, I don't have the I love my wife on the bottom of Daniel's. I know that you got lucky because that's on the bottom of yours. So sweet.
So that doesn't make me automatically lucky too?
Let me see.
Oh, no. You're damn lucky.
Okay.
Know that you're damn lucky.
Okay.
I don't think you can read it, but she just texted me, no mistake with you, so.
Aw, see? I think you're a good guy too, Jeremy. I think you guys both got lucky. You guys found each other in college.
Uh-oh. Jeremy, maybe you could take your wife and toilet paper her house now.
You said toilet paper her house now?
No, not your house. Maybe you could take your wife and toilet paper somebody else's house now.
I'm sure I have three boys. I'm sure we will at some point toilet paper people's houses. And she is a boy mom, so I'm sure at some point she will either initiate or be involved in that. So, yes.
As long as you don't do your own and spray it down with water, it'll be okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. After HBU, where did you go?
It was an interesting story, and I don't really tell this story to anybody, but
you're going to tell it to all of us online.
Luckily, got fired from the Houston Texans. I did an internship. Well, I don't know if you can get fired for volunteering, but I did an internship with the Texans. And then since I was in Houston, they kept me on for game day help. Well, one of the players was like, here, you can drive my car for the weekend. So I did. And then apparently that didn't sit very well. So he called me in and said, hey, bring me your stuff. I said, oh, okay. So I brought him my stuff. I got fired. Well, the next weekend, I think, I hung out with Sarah. And then I would have been at the game. So I might not have been able to hang out with Sarah had I been still working with the Texans. So I don't know that I've ever really told that to anybody online. I've told Sarah and I've told some other people, but it's because of my poor decision of taking advantage and not respecting the opportunity that was given to me that I wasn't able to stay with the Texans. In the end, I'm glad that it happened because I might have still been chasing that and then making that my focus rather than my family. So again, I think God had a plan. And I wasn't the wisest of people, as we stated earlier, from my toilet paper and dog poop stuff. So, Keith, you back with us?
I think so. I think it happened last time we talked.
Yep, see? So it happens when you're in Arkansas.
I'm telling you, I need to move to Texas then, huh?
Yeah, and then you wouldn't have to travel so far for those Ironmans.
I could be right down there.
Okay, so memorable moment as an athletic trainer. You were in the middle of it and it cut off. I think you said you were just discussing one of the motocross events, but why don't you go ahead and recap that?
What I was referring to was the worst injury that I had seen as an athletic trainer was at that event. We were actually down in Fort Worth, our DFW. At that Will Rogers Coliseum, I just walked in for the first practice. Just got off my plane, went straight to the Coliseum there, and I had just started practice. Grabbed my fanny pack. A guy had one of the riders that I became friends with had crashed there on the course. And you still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I was making sure it hadn't cut off there. Got my screen went blank again. Had a double femur fracture, so that was interesting to be able to take care of that, and then trying to instruct EMTs on how the best way to be able to care for an athlete on the course to get him on to the backboard and to get him off safely. Of course, the practice stops right there because you have an athlete on the course and you're trying to get them off so you can continue. Probably the second worst injury, I guess, after that, I had a tib fracture, and this was in Hampton, Virginia, the same year, I think it was. No, the following year. And the athlete still had his motocross boots on, and the EMTs wanted to take it off. The athlete knew. He says, I know it's broke. He said he'd broken it before. And I pleaded with the EMTs to leave the boot on him so that would at least act, as a little bit of a splint for him till they could get him to the emergency room to get him sedated so they can get that boot off of him. So that was interesting to be able to have to deal with that from that standpoint. You could actually, when they tried to take his boot off, you can actually see the blood coming from because it was a compound fracture, and it was was oozing down into his boot. You could see it when they were trying to open it up. So that was an interesting injury there, I would say. So there's a lot of different things you could see and describe. It's hard. There's so many stories that I could tell. We could be here all day, but those two stand out to me more than anything else.
All right. Well, then let's try to get to the next one before we cut off again. most memorable moment as an athletic trainer?
Wow. I guess the most memorable moment for me was 2 years ago saving that young man's life on the football field. That's what I remember the most. The young man's dad, every time he sees me, he'll come up and give me a hug. He says, you're my hero. And he tells me that every time. And I just, it makes you want to cry. And it makes you proud to be an athletic trainer when people do come up and speak to you in that form. And, I'm just telling him that I'm doing my job and I appreciate him. We still have other athletes out there and that we have to take care of. That to me is my most memorable, the moment for me that means the most to me, I guess I could say. So.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would be one of the most memorable moments you'd ever experienced. So, all right, tell me about a life lesson you have learned from athletic training.
Life lesson learned from athletic training. Wow, there's so many life lessons. I guess you could apply to that, narrowing it down to one. I guess starting out athletic training, I was not a very patient person. I guess it's you have to have a lot of patience, especially when you deal with high school athletes. There's so much that you want to be able to accomplish, or you want the athlete to be able to accomplish, and sometimes it's almost like from a coaching aspect that you want it more than the athlete does. But and when it comes to the point of rehab per se, you want that athlete to get better. You want to push, but you can't push them because they may not be prepared for this. Something else that kind of stands out that we learned, last year from SWATA was, I've already lost, I can't remember the athletic trainer's name that passed away a year or so ago. He always said, I always told his athletes, I'm not trying to scare you, I'm trying to prepare you. That stands out in my mind nowadays, when you're working with athletes, because this is something that they've never gone through this before. It's hard for them to be able to deal with this type of injury or an injury, I should say. So you want to be able to have patience with them and try to help them get through it the best way possible and the fastest way possible.
All right. One piece of advice for athletic trainers, what would that be?
one piece of advice for athletic trainers, learn as much as you can, do as much as you can, stick your nose in the middle of everything. There's a lot to learn. Now, there's a lot to learn out there nowadays. For myself, I did my athletic training through internship. I guess you can call me old school. I did not go through CAGE. Did not go through a curriculum. I got thrown right into the fire, and that's the way I learned it. And I learned more from other athletic trainers that I got my hours from along the way. So I would have to tell athletic trainers nowadays, I would tell them, learn as much as you can. Ask as many questions as you can so you can learn as much as you can. Get more hands-on experience. Don't just go by what's in the book. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But I would prefer that they do more hands-on, nowadays.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was talking about earlier in one of the points we were kicked off. I didn't take advantage of a lot of opportunities correctly. I think I took advantage of them incorrect, like what can I get out of this instead of like how can I learn or how can I help. And so I wish I had listened. Somebody might have told me that before, but I wish I had listened and made the most out of each opportunity. So that's a good one. And then three people you would like to thank and why.
Three people I'd like to thank. Well, that's a tough one. There's a lot of people to thank, honestly. It can be kind of hard to narrow. I guess, really, I have to thank my family. I have to thank my family primarily for allowing me to be an athletic trainer and to be gone, be away from them as much as I am. Your athletic training home, where you're at your school, that's kind of your second home. And, you have this, I have a great relationship with all my coaches. The athletes, the parents, and it's almost like it's basically a second home for me. I'm primarily 45 minutes from where I live. That's where I drive every day, 45 minutes here. So it's kind of a second home. My head football coach, who's also our athletic director, we're very good, very close friends. I'd have to thank him, for allowing me to do this job here. And to be able to be a part of this program and to develop it and to be able to do more things. I got a treadmill a couple of days ago. I'm able to expand and do a few more things that I wanted to be able to have here for the athletes. So, and I guess last but not least, I would really have to thank one of my mentors. She's actually about the same age as I am, and I got a little behind. Started collecting later in life, I guess. But Laura Lee Boutwell, she's actually over in Memphis now working for Campbell Clinic. She's one of my dearest and closest friends as an athletic trainer. She taught me a lot. And if I have a question, even with 18 years experience, I still sometimes will call her, hey, have you ever run into this before? And, just kind of get her opinion on something. It's always good to have someone to call, it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you think you know. You always need to always try to back myself up and find out if there's something else. Have you gone through this? Have you gone through that? Is there something else that I'm missing? Is there something else I can do here? Kind of thing. So.
All right, very good. I really enjoy having Bill here because it's really easy for me to say, hey, we'll do this all the time. Bill, take a look at somebody and say, hey, why don't you take a look? And we don't say, hey, I think he did this. We just say, hey, why don't you take a look? And then that way I can do my own thing. He can do his own thing. If we have the same agreement, same diagnosis, then we're good. If we got something different, then, we'll discuss and go from there. So it's really good that you have that person to bounce things off of. So I love having that here at Pasadena. So
exactly.
Well, Keith, thanks for being an active listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Congratulations on the items that you won there. I know you tweeted out a picture of the Memorial Hermann Charger you won and we sent out during the month of March, I believe. And it was great to meet you in person and to hang out for a few minutes there at SWATA. And I know last time you came in town for the Ironman and vacation, we tried to hook up, but it just didn't work out. So I invite any of you that come to Houston to hit me up and maybe we can hook up. Of course, going to Killen's Barbecue or what's going to be open now, Killen's Burgers would be a really good place to go and get some really good food down here in Houston. So Keith, it is a pleasure and I'm glad to have met you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Have a great day, sir.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.